Thank you for that beautiful prayer. That was wonderful. I need the strength and help. And what a great topic we have today, heeding prophets. And so timely, tied in with conference, general conference this next weekend. It couldn't be better to be able to focus on the words that the prophets give us and the apostles and to apply it to our lives. So I'm thrilled to be able to have this topic. As usual, I have too much material, so I'll make sure I end on time, and I won't blame Liz Cowan this time. Sorry, Liz, last time I threw her under the bus because I talked to her right before and promised her I'd end on time, and then I went over. So I won't blame Liz, and I will do it. But the main learning today is an important one that would be wonderful to teach our children and grandchildren, and that is that God calls prophets. All throughout time he has, to bear witness of Jesus Christ, to declare repentance, and to invite all to come to the Savior. The Book of Mormon teaches that those that heed these prophets are blessed, while those who oppose them experience regret and sorrow. That happens over and over in the Book of Mormon, and could be the main theme of the Book of Mormon. So the main purposes of prophets, again, as it says, is to bear witness of Jesus Christ, to teach us to keep his commandments and to repent and to bring all of us to Jesus Christ, to bring us to him. Carol McConkie gave a great talk called Living According to the Words of the Prophets. And she said, "Our Father in heaven loves all of his children and desires they know and understand his plan of happiness." Don't you like the name of that? The plan of salvation, the plan of happiness, synonymous. "Therefore, he calls prophets, those who have been ordained with power and authority to act in God's name for the salvation of his children. They are messengers of righteousness." That's a great title for a prophet, a messenger of righteousness. "They are witnesses of Jesus Christ and the infinite power of his atonement. They hold the keys of the kingdom on earth and authorize the performance of saving ordinances." So how unusual is this in the world today, in the Christian world? All Christian churches believe in the Bible, and they believe that God spoke to prophets, and they would be the first to defend it, as would we. But when pressed, they would say that Revelation ended at the end of the Bible, and that the heavens have not been opened to a prophet, that God has given all that he has given. As it says in the Book of Mormon, it says, "A Bible, a Bible, there can be no other Bible." That we've received God's word, why would we receive more of it? And God doesn't act that way. God loves all of his children, and we have such a need for him today. He continues to give us prophets, and that was the whole purpose of the restoration. How many of you can remember Hubie Brown? I don't want to say older, but those of us that remember Hubie Brown, what a powerful apostle he was. There is a great talk that I wanted to play part of, but just didn't have time. But you need to look it up, and you can watch him on the BYU talks, or just Google it. It's called "Profile of a Prophet." "Profile of a Prophet" by Hubie Brown. And it would be a great family home evening for your kids or grandkids when you gather. But he basically talks about, just very briefly, that he had a chance to talk with another member of parliament who is a lawyer and very intelligent, who couldn't believe that Hubie Brown, his friend, who was also an esteemed lawyer and statesman, he couldn't believe that he believed in the story of Joseph Smith and in the restoration. And so he tells about this experience of talking with him. And he asked this person, "Do you believe that God has ever spoken to prophets on the earth throughout time?" And he said, "Well, of course, in the Bible, it's full of prophets." And he said, "Well, do you believe that he speaks to them now?" "No, he doesn't. We've received his word, and it's in the Bible." "Well, why doesn't he speak to prophets?" he says. "There must be a reason." "Let me give you a couple reasons. First, maybe he has lost the power. He can't speak to the earth as a prophet. He doesn't use prophets because he's lost the power." This man said, "Of course, that would be blasphemous." Well, here's another reason. He doesn't care about us. God has performed his work, and he doesn't care about the rest of the people here. He's already given all that he has. And he said, and this man said, of course God loves all people at all times, and he's no respecter of persons. Well, then if he hasn't lost the power and doesn't care about us, maybe we don't need him. Maybe we don't need a prophet on the earth. And this man got emotional and said, this was right before World War II broke out, and they knew it was coming. And he said, there never was a time in the history of the earth, there never was a people that needed God to speak through a prophet now. Can you tell me why he doesn't speak to a prophet? And Hubie Brown said, he said, he does. He has spoken, he is speaking, and we just need the faith to hear him. So we could say those very same arguments. I would say this would be even greater time than maybe even at World War II, that we need God, we need direction from a prophet. More than ever before, because of all the things that we're facing. Our prophet, President Nelson, he said this before he was a prophet in 2014, said, my dear brothers and sisters, if the restoration did anything, it shattered the age-old myth that God had stopped talking to his children. Nothing could be further from the truth. A prophet has stood at the head of God's church in all dispensations, from Adam to the present day. Prophets testify of Jesus Christ, of his divinity, and of his earthly mission and ministry. We honor the prophet Joseph Smith as the prophet of the last dispensation. This is our dispensation. And we honor each man who succeeded him as president of the church. Now he is the prophet. And how grateful we are that this weekend we get to gather and listen and be instructed from a prophet of God. So that's something to be proud of as a Mormon, as an LDS person, but our prophet has instructed us to say as members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, because it is his church, and we need to use his name in referring to it more. So when we are talking to people, and they say, what's different between your church? We believe that we have a living prophet on the earth, that the heavens are not closed, and God continues to speak to man again through revelation, through our prophet. That is highly unusual. You think it wouldn't be, but it is very unusual in our Christian world. I just wanted to share a pioneer story that I think is significant when we're referring to prophets and being obedient to them. This brother, his name is Ora Barlow. He tells of his grandfather who was working to build the Nauvoo Temple. And he was in charge of hauling rock. And he had two high-spirited mares that he used, that he pulled a wagon with this rock in it. And it was dangerous work. They were backing up all the time into to get rock from the quarry. And, you know, there were injuries, and they were trying to be careful. But it was, you can imagine, they didn't have machinery. They didn't have anything that we have. And they built that beautiful temple that, a replica, you know, we've seen it. That's an exact replica of what it was, and that is amazing to think they did that without modern machinery. And so one day while he was backing his wagon up at the quarry by the river's edge, the prophet Joseph came over to him and said, his name was Israel, on your next trip, stop and buy yourself a buggy whip. To which the grandfather assented. On his next trip to town, he bought a buggy whip and returned for another load of rock. Backing up the team this time, he attempted to stop them as usual by saying, whoa, to which they paid no attention, but kept backing and backing until Israel was compelled to use the whip which the prophet had told him to buy. The horses jumped forward and the wagon stopped right at the edge of the quarry, beyond which they would have plunged below. And this Ora Barlow says, grandfather frequently told this story as an illustration of what obedience meant. He accepted everything the prophet Joseph told him and never questioned why. Some would call this blind obedience, but not so. Israel Barlow knew full well the divine calling of the prophet and bore that testimony to the day of his death. I love this story because it's analogous to us following the prophet's words. It'd be wonderful to live in the time where you could just talk to the prophet, you know, when you're working with them or together, and we don't have that opportunity, but we do have the chance to almost be one-to-one when he speaks to us at conference. We have that great blessing in our lives. We have a living prophet that gives us warning and commandments. And like by the whip, that you're going to need the whip, our prophet is telling us things today to save us from destruction, from being backed up and not being able to stop and not knowing what is right, and plunging to our death in time, spiritually and physically. And so the kids have it right. That wonderful song they sing, follow the prophet, follow the prophet. Don't go astray. Follow the prophet. He knows the way. But the primary words, songs are so powerful and have such great meaning. And he does know the way. So the common thread in the scriptures is that the prophets of God teach of Jesus Christ. They teach repentance, and they have us keep our commandments, keep commandments that he has given them. I'd like to give an example from Samuel the Lamanite. If you can turn to Helaman 13, 24. While you're looking for that, I'll read this last quote. Elder Ballard said, "It is no small thing, my brothers and sisters, to have a prophet of God in our midst. Great and wonderful are the blessings that come into our lives as we listen to the word of God given to us through him. When we hear the counsel of the Lord expressed through the words of the president of the church, our response should be positive and prompt. History has shown that there is safety, peace, prosperity, and happiness in responding to prophetic counsel." I wish I could be like Kelly and Becca and have cool things back here, but I am a computer illiterate. And I have other skills, but that is not one of them. And so I will put all these quotes, the good quotes, on the website, so you don't have to worry about writing them down. But hopefully you can get them without. I wish I could do that. I'm going to learn to do that by the time I'm done. Kelly said she might teach me. I'd like you to write down, I've got two questions, and I've just got to say, this was, I thought and prayed about this lesson for a long time. The Lord is mindful of you, sisters, because things weren't coming together for the longest time, and then I felt directed on what to speak about today, and I know that it was inspired from the Lord. So on your papers or the notebooks that you keep, I want you to think of two things. The first one, and this is personal for you, this is if you use the Holy Ghost as you're listening today, the Holy Ghost tells you in your heart and in your mind, by feelings in your heart and impressions in your mind, DNC 8 and 2, and that will tell you these things that you could write down as you're thinking about them. The first is, when have you been blessed by responding positively and promptly to prophetic counsel? What's something that a prophet has said that you've read or that you've heard about? And just write it down, something personal, just a couple words, or you can think about it and put it down later. But think of a time when you have been blessed because you followed the advice of the prophet. And second, what questions, concerns, problems, struggles are you facing that you would like answers to this conference? Think about, we all have problems, we all have things we struggle with and we need to work on. There's a lot of hard things going on, I know, especially in this state. We've had some hard trials and things that are hard to understand. What do you personally want to get out of conference? What is an answer that you need? What is some help? Write that down, at least the question, and be thinking about those during the lesson and after. And I promise you, as you think and ponder on that, the Spirit will tell you what you should write, what you should focus on, and will also remind you of something that you listened to, that you were obedient to, that the prophet gave, and that was a blessing in your life. Elder Bruce McConkie wrote that through the prophets, the Lord reveals the truth of salvation, the salvation that is in Christ, and he charts the course leading to eternal life. In every age, the Lord gives his people the direction they need at the very moment of their peril and danger. Think of that. All the things that we face in today with the wickedness that is going on in the very moment that we need it, which is now. You watch during conference, the prophet and apostles will tell us things we need to do for safety. In every age, the Lord gives his people the direction they need at the moment of their peril and danger. And surely in the days ahead, there will be times when nothing but the wisdom of God descending from heaven and flowing forth from prophetic lips will be able to save his people. Okay, let's go to Samuel the Lamanite, who was an amazing prophet. The Lamanites had become more righteous than the Nephites at this point, and so it took a lot of courage. He, as a Lamanite, went to preach repentance to the Nephites who are not obedient to the commandments and who are living wickedly, and it's 6 years before Christ is being born. And you've all seen, I should have got that picture of him up on the tower and arrows coming at him that they couldn't hit him. Imagine that scene. But he came to these people and they drove him out and almost killed him, threatened to kill him, and he left. He went and the Lord told him to turn around and go back, and he went in another way. He said, I've got a message to give them. He warns people sufficiently to repent before they have destruction, which was the destruction when Jesus comes, if they didn't repent, which was to come. And so he came back and he gave this message. And let's see, it's Helaman 13 and 24. He's giving warning about following the prophets. We could think of our time. Verse 24, Helaman 13, 24. Yea, woe, woe meaning great trouble is coming unto this people because of this time which has arrived, that ye do cast out the prophets and do mock them and cast stones at them and do slay them and do all manner of iniquity under them, even as they did in the times of old. So one of the deceptions of Satan is that they have people say, well, if I lived in Moses' time or if I lived in another time period, I would obey that prophet. But this prophet is wicked. He's telling us of our sins, but I would have been obedient to another prophet. Verse 25, and now when you talk among yourselves, when you talk, you say, if our days had been in the days of our fathers of old, we would not have slain the prophets. We would not have stoned them and cast them out. Behold, ye are worse than they. For as the Lord liveth, if a prophet come among you and declared unto you the words of the Lord, which testifies of your sin and iniquities, ye are angry with him and cast him out and seek all manner of ways to destroy him. Yea, you will say he is a false prophet and that he is a sinner and of the devil, because he testified that your deeds are evil. People that call good evil and evil good, which Isaiah said would happen. It's in our time, in our time, that such as abortion, calling, that God says that we should sanctify life, and some would call that evil for bringing more spirits to the world and for different reasons. But there are many things that you can think of, mostly in the Family Proclamation, that are exact opposite today. Verse 27, behold, if a man shall come among you and say, do this, and there is no iniquity, do that, and ye shall not suffer. Walk after the pride of your own hearts. At the end of this verse, and if a man will come among you and say this, you will receive him and say he is a prophet. If we are told there's no sin, there's no devil, there's no absolute truth, it's whatever you believe in your heart. If you're a good person and you believe in your heart that's right, then that is truth. There is no absolute truth. These are all lies, and that people will call them a prophet for saying that. Verse 28, yea, you will lift him up. These are people that will call good evil and evil good. And you will give unto him of your substance, of your gold and silver, because he speaketh flattering words unto you, and he saith all is well. Then you will not find fault with him, like you do with the true prophets. So anyway, he warns them. He says, you've got to repent, or they're casting him out. They're trying to kill him. And they're saying, we will have listened other times, but you're a false prophet. So then you go to, let's see if this really happens. 3 Nephi 9, 24 and 25. Sorry, it's 3 Nephi 8, 24 and 25. This has been after Jesus did come and after he was born. Remember, this was 6 years before. And then Samuel Lamanite gave his message, and then he was never heard from again. He disappeared. He wasn't killed, but his message was given. So now let's see if this happened. 3 Nephi 8:24. And in one place they heard to Christ saying, they heard to Christ saying, "Oh, that we had repented before this great and terrible day. Then our brethren would have been spared, and they would not have been burned in that great city of Zarahemla." In another place they were heard to cry and mourn, verse 25, "Oh, that we had repented before this great and terrible day, and had not killed and stoned the prophets and cast them out. Then when our mothers and our fair daughters and our children have been spared." And thus were the howlings of the people great and terrible. So the prophecies always come about. If you one thing you can count on is if a prophet says it, it will come about. It will maybe not seem like it will. Evil seems to reign now, and good doesn't seem to triumph. But it will, just as the saints were justified for all their suffering and all their sacrifice. And they probably thought, our prophet is dead and his brother, and we are driven out, and this will be the end of the church. And where's the truth, and where's justice? And in the Lord's time, they received it. And who would think that from the church that began with just six people organized formally in 1830 would grow to fill the whole earth, as the prophet Joseph Smith said to them, this church will fill North and South America. It will fill the whole world, the whole earth. That's come about. They would never have thought that, I'm sure, in those times. So we need to keep the faith when things seem grim and that evil just always triumphs. And believe in the words of the prophet, that their words will be fulfilled, just as we saw with Samuel. And these people regretted and said, why didn't we repent? Why didn't we listen to Samuel? And now our families are dead, and it's too late. What great examples. There's so much material, but President Benson at BYU gave a great talk called 14 Fundamentals of Prophets in 1980. And he said this was a grand key of following the prophets, for our salvation hangs on it. And I can't do all 14. I'm just going to give you a few. But the first one I just wanted to emphasize is the prophet is the only one who speaks for the Lord on everything. In Doctrine and Covenants section 132 and 7, it says, there is never but one on the earth at a time on whom this power and the keys of this priesthood are conferred. The Lord states in Doctrine and Covenants section 21, verses 4 to 6, wherefore, meaning the church, thou shalt give heed unto all the words and commandments which he, speaking about the prophet, shall give thee, give unto you, as he receiveth them, walking in all holiness before me. For his word ye shall receive, as if from my own mouth, in all patience and faith. And here's the promise, for by doing these things the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. So again, we are to give heed unto all his words, as if from the Lord's mouth. What a chance we have to hear what the Lord has for us this weekend with conference coming up. The second point of the 14, but I'm skipping around, is the living prophet is more vital to us than the standard works. That seems to be contradictory. The standard works are, of course, our scriptures, and we believe in those. But what the living prophets have to say today is directly for our time, and should be taken literally. And when we get those conference reports, those are like scripture. We should pour over those. I stick mine in my bathroom, or stick it in a place where you're waiting, or take it with you when you have a few minutes at the doctor's office, or listen on your phone. We're so lucky. You can go out for a walk and put on a conference talk and listen to it. And so these are scripture. These are what the Lord has to say to us today. In our prophet's words, we hear the voice of the Lord and we feel the Savior's love. In Doctrine and Covenants, section 68, verse 4, the Lord said, and whatsoever they shall speak, when moved upon by the Holy Ghost, shall be scripture, shall be the will of the Lord, shall be the mind of the Lord, shall be the word of the Lord, shall be the voice of the Lord and the power of God unto salvation. And then another scripture, whether by mine own voice or by the voice of my servants, it is the same. This is how he communicates to the world and to us as a church and to us as Latter-day Saints. We can get our own individual revelation for our family and for ourselves, but on the whole, the Lord communicates through his prophet to reach all of us and tell him what we should be doing to live in this Latter-day world. Third, the living prophet is more important to us than a dead prophet. President Benson said, the living prophet has the power of TNT, sounds like dynamite, but by that I mean today's news today. God's revelation to Adam did not instruct Noah how to build the ark. Noah needed his own revelation. Therefore, the most important prophet, so far as you and I are concerned, is the one living in our day, an age to whom the Lord is currently revealing his will for us. Therefore, the most important reading we can do is the words of the prophet contained in the church magazines. Our marching orders for each 6 months are found in these addresses, printed in the Ensign. Beware of those, President Benson says, who would pit the dead prophets against the living ones, for the living prophets always take precedence. John Taylor said, we require a living tree, a living fountain, living intelligence proceeding from the living priesthood in heaven through the living priesthood on the earth. And from the time that Adam first received a communication from God to the time that John on the Isle of Patmos received his communication, or Joseph Smith had the heavens open to him, it always requires new revelations. We are a church that believes in continuous revelations. Article of Faith 9. Adapted to the particular circumstance in which the churches or individuals are placed. Adam's revelation did not instruct Noah to build his ark, nor Noah's revelation tell Lot to forsake Sodom, nor did either of these speak of the departure of the children of Israel from Egypt. These all had revelations for themselves, and so had Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Jesus, Peter, Paul, John, Joseph, and so must we. So Article of Faith 9, we believe all that God has revealed, we believe that he does now reveal, and we believe he will yet reveal many great and important things pertaining to the kingdom of God. That, to me, is exciting because we are a living church. It is continuous. Revelation is moving forward. We are still receiving it, and that is so unique in the world of religion today. So what do you know about President Nelson, our wonderful new prophet? He just had a birthday. How old did he turn? 94. Isn't that amazing how he travels the world at 94? He was married to Danzel for 59 years. He's been married to Wendy Nelson for 12 years. He has 10 children, 57 grandchildren, and 119 great-grandchildren. 119. They said that keeps, it's hard to keep up with. Where's Cynthia Williams here? Okay. Cynthia's daughter, Meg, right, is married to one of his grandsons. And she told me that when Meg had her baby, President Nelson was what, second or third person in to see her? First? What'd she say? The second one in to see his great-grandchild. What an example of how much a priority family is. This is, maybe she was, I don't know what number she was, 116. He's to 119 in the last 8 months. 116th grandchild, and President Nelson at 94 gets in his car, drives to the hospital, goes up and sees his 116th great-grandchild. That to me is a sermon in itself. That's incredible. And shows us what we should be doing, our time that we should be spending with our children and grandchildren. And that was just after, right, Sith, that he became a prophet? The day before President Monson's funeral, and he's visiting his great-grandchild. That is incredible. Yeah. Did it just happen? I was out of town. Okay. We have a grandson, Blake Maxfield, in our ward, the 8th ward. And did he come? And yeah, he came before when I was there. I've been out of town, and came and helped bless his grandchild. And then did he speak? Oh, that's awesome. So I don't know. That's just so impressive to me, you know, that how valuable these little kids are, these grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and how important family is, that he would take that time as a newly ordained as a prophet and do that. So a little more about him. He graduated from medical school when he was 22. Guess what number in his class he was? First in his medical school class. Incredible. He's performed nearly 7,000 heart surgeries performed in his career. I got this from all the church news, so if you're wondering why I know everything here. He served 34 years as an apostle first. He's laid the foundation. He's learned. He's sat at the foot of these other prophets. Countries visited while serving as an apostle, 133. While he was an apostle, he visited that many countries. He dedicated 31 countries for the preaching of the gospel. Countries visited since he became president of the church. It's been 8 months, 12. That was a couple weeks ago. He might have gone somewhere else. He is on the move. Someone we can be proud of and emulate and listen to. So what's our living prophet saying today? I think we have some microphones. A couple thanks so much. Thanks to all these that help us. With this, if you could just briefly say something that President Nelson has taught, or something that has inspired you since, just really quick, what he has done since becoming a prophet, just raise your hand or stand up and just say something real brief. We'll name a bunch of them, okay? Good. Focusing on personal revelation. Excellent. Sorry, you might not be able to get to everyone. Okay, something else. Yes?
The importance of family history.
Okay, family history. Excellent. Yes? The millennial generation. All right, that's excellent. He's concerned about that group, maybe. Okay, he's very active with the youth, isn't he? Okay, other themes, other things that he's spoken of? You can just call him out. Yes. Fran?
He told us to read the Book of Mormon every day, because I always get sad toward the end, and now I can
read the Book of Mormon every day. He talked about that at the very beginning. That's excellent. Okay? Gathering of Israel. He's been famous for saying, we invite all to come into Christ on both sides of the veil. He's gathering Israel, making us aware of that. Okay, teaching the gospel in the home. He's teaching it by example, by getting around to his family and showing how he values them. Okay, other themes, Sabbath day, making the Sabbath day a delight. Focusing on that. His big one with ministering, visiting, teaching, and home teaching, totally changed that. Don't you like that word, ministering? The Lord ministered to us. He asked us to minister. We mentioned, any others? I don't want to cut someone else off. There's one, is that Linda? My good friend Linda.
With Dansel, his first wife. My mom was always good friends with Dansel. And he, when my father passed away and my brother passed away, he wrote the most sweet, special, very personal letter to her of condolence. And I just thought, to take the time to do that, you know, as busy as he is, and she's not involved in his life at all anymore, but to take the time to do that or even know about it and do that personally, it tells you, just like you said, about ministering, how important that is to him, and he does it by example.
He ministers to the one. I'm sure we all have heard experience like that. We'll take one more. Just right, this sister in the center.
Hi. His request that we set aside things in our life to make more time for the temple has made a big impact in my life. I've since become an ordinance worker, and it's really been a because of his request.
Excellent. I love that. More time for the temple. Getting our priorities straight, which he models. I've already mentioned that we are to call the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The preferred name is the name that the Lord called it. He said, we love and honor Mormon, but he was a prophet. We don't revere him as we do the Savior. We need to refer to ourselves as members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints to distinguish us from the former day saints. There's so many other things. He spoke to the youth. He gave a special fireside and said to the youth, take a break from the fake. I love that. The social media. Take a break. Unhook for a week. Challenged them and told them many other things. He is a vibrant and active. He is with it. He knows what's going on. He knows the challenges that we face. In the church news, I don't know if you, this is super hard to see, but it just shows about this big gathering at Safeco Field in Seattle. Seattle, Washington just happened. He spoke there to the saints in the Pacific Northwest. 49,000 people were there. They said the devotional was the largest non-sporting event in the history of Safeco Field. It's where the Mariners play. And the second largest event the venue has ever hosted. So isn't that incredible? There's 288,000 Latter-day Saints in that area, 3 temples and 8 missions. So it's an active area. So they came in droves. They lined up 6 hours before. It started at 6, and there was a line all the way around Safeco Field. The largest non-sporting event in the history of Safeco Field. That's incredible. And would draw attention from locals and from people that weren't members. And part of his message, and this is some things that I felt inspired to share. Maybe some of you have heard this, but this is a prophet's words just a couple weeks ago that could apply to us. Here's what he said. My dear brothers and sisters, we are living in the most crucial era in the history of the world. That's our time. That's so exciting. Since the beginning of time, prophets have foreseen our day and prophesied about what would take place during this winding up period before the Savior comes again. And so he said 4 basic things. Hold to the raft. He told a story of his family rafting and that he was trying to help some others and wasn't holding on and just got catapulted into the water. Said, I felt like an egg in an egg beater. And he said, we are all metaphorically speaking on a rafting trip through life. Usually it's beautiful and peaceful, but at some point we might hit rough rapids. As we face churning challenges in our life, the greatest and only real safety comes as we hold onto the raft, which is the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. If I have learned anything in my life, it is that our ultimate security and our only enduring happiness lies in holding onto the iron rod, which is the gospel, the scriptures. The iron rod of the restored gospel of Jesus Christ, complete with its covenances and ordinances. When we do so, we can safely navigate through rough waters because we have access to God's power. Isn't that awesome? This is a prophet saying the only safety we have with all the problems we face and all our struggles and our disappointments is to hold to the gospel. And eventually we'll come up out on top. That raft rises. You hold on to it and it'll come back up. Second, the Book of Mormon is the word of God, what Fran was saying. During the Korean War, President Nelson was a surgeon in the army and was asked by one of his surgical nurses why he was different than the other surgeons. He said this, if I am different from other surgeons, it is because I know the Book of Mormon is true. That's a great thing. If someone says, there's something different about you, he says, it's because I know the Book of Mormon is true. He then challenged his nurse and her husband, who was a surgeon, to read the Book of Mormon, and they eventually joined the church. I plead with you, that word plead, from a prophet of God. I plead with you to make reading the Book of Mormon a regular part of your daily life. Doing so is one of the surest ways to hang onto the raft and learn the truths of the restored gospel. The third point is the honors of men fade. President Nelson said that the honors of men, exhilarating as they may seem at the time, fade into oblivion compared to what the Lord has in store for covenant-keeping children, the supernal gift of eternal life. That's the greatest of all God's gifts. I plead, there's plead again, with you not to let the temptations of the world, including the time-consuming allurements of your occupation, distract you from the real reason you are here on earth. That is to use your agency to choose Jesus Christ and his gospel. So all the honors of man are fade and will be nothing compared to what God has in store for those that love him and keep his commandments and keep their covenants. It says even to beware of our professions that could obsess us, that we could become work-centered and not Christ-centered. He was a surgeon. I'm sure his time was very demanding. He had to be very careful with his time with his family of 10 kids, which he was a great example of. Fourth, the Lord uses the unlikely. I like this one. In 1985, President Benson gave President Elder Monson at that time the assignment to open up the countries of Eastern Europe for the preaching of the gospel. Can you imagine that assignment? Okay, Elder Nelson, your assignment, we've given other people welfare and working on the curriculum and things. I'd like to give you open up Eastern Europe to the preaching of the gospel. And that's what we've been praying for. Remember, as we grew up, us that are a little bit older, grew up praying that the nations, the doors of the nations of the countries of the world would open up. Years and years of prayers. And then he assigned this in 85 to him. This was during the Cold War. All of Eastern Europe was under the oppressive yoke of communism. The Lord was able to do his own work. And President Nelson said he watched miracle after miracle unfold, including the Iron Curtain being taken down. We talked about how the Lord uses people as instruments in his hands, as he probably did President Reagan at that time, to help break down that Iron Curtain. He said, after and always after, I had brought my best thinking, my most fervent prayers, and my most courageous efforts to the task. He answered our prayers. After he had given their best, I learned that the Lord likes effort. He blesses our best efforts. Isn't that great? The Lord likes effort and blesses our best efforts. We don't have to be perfect. We don't have to know everything. He was one of the younger members of the Quorum of the Twelve. He's given that enormous assignment to open up these countries. And he traveled like crazy and did everything he could. And in 1992, President Nelson said he was able to report that the church was established in every country in Eastern Europe. From 85 to 92, the Lord did his miracles. That's incredible. How many of you have had missionaries or have you served yourself in Eastern Europe? Okay, that's good. I had two girls serve in Hungary and Romania, countries that were closed to that teaching. We didn't even think of going there. When I grew up, Russia was our enemy. We didn't think that we'd have missionaries in Russia. I just went to an opening of my nephew's call, and he's called to Hong Kong, China. China is opening up, and a lot of that's been open for a while, but a lot of places in the world are opening up that haven't been. The fifth one, he said, care for others. We are happiest when we are thinking of someone other than ourselves. A fundamental characteristic of followers of Jesus Christ is the desire and willingness to care for others. This is why at the last General Conference, we emphasized ministering as a higher, holier way of taking care of each other. This is also why the church engages in humanitarian service around the globe. Our efforts are designed to keep all mankind, are designed to help all mankind. None of the church's shipments of relief material are ever labeled for Latter-day Saints only. Isn't that amazing? Everybody, anyone ever pushes back to you about the church, you know, the church doesn't toot its own horn about humanitarian work, but that is something that is amazing, and it is not just for Latter-day Saints. It extends. The church is usually in countries of disasters and whatever happened. One of the first every time, and that is our a lot of our tithing and donations given from this church. As a church, President Nelson said, we need to be doing what the Savior wishes us to do. And as a people, we need to be looking and acting like true followers of Jesus Christ. Our message to the world is simple and sincere, and you've heard this many times from him. We invite all of God's children on both sides of the veil to come unto their Savior, to receive the blessings of the Holy Temple and qualify for eternal life so that they can have enduring joy now and forever. So that took some time to read, but I felt impressed to read that to you because this is our prophet speaking to a large group of Latter-day Saints, and it also applies to us so much. So grateful that the Lord, as it says in the scriptures, that the church is built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And why is that? Why is he the chief cornerstone? Why is it built on apostles and prophets? It also says in the scriptures in the Bible that we need not be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. God reveals his word through his ordained servants. And here's the reason: for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. So if we can get the mics out again, and well, you know, if you can just yell it out too, because we just kind of want them short. Give some examples of where the Lord's prophets are speaking today on what issues that are in direct contrast to what the world is teaching. Just raise your hand and say those. I will start out by saying the family proclamation. Others. What are some things in the last, wouldn't even have to be President Nelson, the last little bit, what are some issues that what are they giving direction on? Sabbath day, excellent. Sabbath day to most is an extra day of recreation and an extra long weekend.
The name of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints instead of Mormons
or
LDS.
The name of our church. What other issues are important? Yes. Social media. That's good. The proper place for social media, the good and bad that it can do, to be aware of both. Powerful tool, wonderful, amazing tool to have in 1 second. You can Google anything, get an answer, but yet how addicting it can be. Thank you.
Chastity.
We live in a world that that chastity is mocked. You turn on any TV show or any movie, and our standards that we have, and that other Christians have, many other Christians have them as well, are mocked, are not supported, are acted like that's not the norm. That's very unusual that people would not engage in premarital relations and that they wouldn't live together before getting married. Very strange ideas in a world that teaches exact opposite. Yes. Okay. This is a great divider. This is a hard issue. Marriage between a man and a woman is sanctified by God. And there's so many that struggle with this, and understandably so, with having family and friends and people that they love that have same-sex attraction. Very hard issues that the church is giving a lot of help with, and trying to respond and show love and teaching love and tolerance and acceptance. But the commandments of God are still the same, that marriage is between a man and a woman. Not popular rhetoric at all today. Totally, totally politically incorrect. Yes. Good. Religious freedom. That's excellent. It's being threatened today. We're going backward in some ways. You know, the religious freedom we didn't learn from World War II with some of those lessons of persecution and the early saints. And religious freedom is, Christians are being persecuted again in all parts of the world. And our church stands up for religious tolerance, as it also does stand up for rights of gay people. That the church will defend that. We have a very strong social, very strong laws that the church stands up for. They should not be persecuted. But they don't adhere that would be the right thing, but they are protected. And the church is very strong about religious and individual freedom. Excellent. Okay, modesty. Try to find a prom dress for your daughter or granddaughter. It's pretty hard. But what a great sifter. What a great thing to show that you can dress modestly. Yes.
Christian males are wicked or evil. That's what's being taught a lot today.
Christian males, okay, yeah. With our latest things, the last few weeks, maybe that Christian males or different people are evil. Yeah. Okay. Can't go on that one right now, Donna. Well, that's one that the same that the church has just come out and said that they are totally aware of people that have medical needs for marijuana and understand that that's a drug that helps them a lot, and they are in support of that. But apparently they feel that this law that's presented goes far, would overstretch those bounds and would go further in the use of marijuana. I don't have a total grasp of it all, but the church doesn't very often take a political stand on things, but they have on something like abortion. They have on they care about voting, they care about different things, and they did issue a statement saying we support medical marijuana for use for families that need it, people that need it, but we don't support this bill because it's of different reasons, and I don't know all those reasons, but that was their stand. Word of wisdom is huge. Materialism and pride. President Benson gave that great talk on pride and comparison. Yes, sister?
Well, qualifying and receiving personal revelation, we all need that, and a strong testimony. There's also a lot of anti-Mormon literature appearing on the internet against the prophet Joseph Smith, and it's leading a lot of young people away from the church. So we have to be aware of the things that are pulling them away.
The church is smart. The church responds quickly and wants people to ask a lot of questions and to find out for themselves. Who has seen that new book, Saints, the new history Saints? We should all go out and buy that for our kids and grandkids. It's incredible. I haven't read it yet, but History of the Church in its good and bad forms. I mean, we're not perfect people. People make mistakes, and they are not. This is a pure history of what happened in the church called Saints, and it is a great. It would be a great tool for those that are struggling with some of the things with the saints. So one last one, Cheryl. Okay. Okay, very well researched, and it, she said you can listen on audio. It's like $5 or something, inexpensive, but it's on audio, you can listen. Oh, it's free? Oh, okay, it's free? Okay, right. Okay. These are all in response to what's going on in the latter days, in that wonderful direction. So we don't have to wonder what the Lord thinks about things. We have so much direction on another one, pornography, the addiction of pornography, the addiction of word of wisdom, of things that have been said like drugs and alcohol and tobacco, things that are addictive that take away our free agency. And isn't that interesting that these things that are so, that the whole war in heaven was fought over agency, and the very things that are enslaving would take away our agency are some things mentioned in the Word of Wisdom. So there's so many of those things. So to keep my word, I've got to end. But we won't always have, when the prophet tells us things, it won't always be, we won't always feel like, oh yes, I've got to do that. Because we are fragile ourselves, But we need to pray about things. Some things are harder, some commandments are harder to live than others. I probably struggle with different things than you do. But the Lord will give us the strength to keep all the commandments, or at least to try our best to. When Nephi was told some things to his brothers, they said, "Thou hast declared unto us hard things more than we're able to bear." And Nephi said, "The guilty taketh the truth to be hard, for it cutteth them to the very center." This would happen to us. This could happen many times. President Lee says, you may not like what comes from the authority of the church. It may contradict your political views. It may contradict your social views. It may interfere with some of your social life. But your safety and ours depends on whether or not we follow the prophet. Let's keep our eyes on the president of the church. So I would just challenge all of us, myself included, at this conference, let's give heed to the words of the prophet that come from the Lord to us. Some things are harder to hear than others, but we can work on that, and we can pray for strength and understanding, and we can ask questions, and we can find out for ourselves and gain testimonies of them, but we need to make the effort to do that rather than become offended and stop doing the little things that kept us in the church, that keeps us in the church, such as reading our scriptures and praying and attending church. So we need to stick to those small and simple things that we stay firmly embedded in the church. And then I'll just end with this last scripture that I said earlier, Doctrine and Covenants, section 21, verses 4-6. Thou shalt give heed unto all his words, the commandments, and the prophet, his words and commandments, which he shall give unto you as he receiveth them, walking in all holiness before me. For his word ye shall receive, as if from mine own mouth, in all patience and faith. That's our key to us, in patience and faith. I bear this testimony that President Nelson is our living prophet today. What a magnificent prophet we have. We could be so proud of him and follow his example in so many ways. I already love him and want to follow the things that he's received from the Lord. And I pray we'll teach that in our families. Say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.